नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। So last week we completed the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I will do a quick recap of the last section that we had seen before we move on to the 8th chapter today. Actually, Krishna speaks about who understands him, who can know him, who cannot know him. Okay, so this he described in verses number 7.14, he says, Mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Whoever surrenders unto him can overcome maya and understand Krishna. Right? But he says that, but those people whose intelligence is not guided by the Shastras, such people do not surrender to Krishna. Namam dushkrutino muda प्रपद्यन्ते नरादमा मायया अपहृत ज्ञान आसुरं भावं आश्रिताः। ओके, सो ही टॉक्स अबाउट दोस हु द डीमंस हु डू नॉट सरेंडर टू कृष्णा। यू नो द फोर काइंड्स ऑफ पीपल हु आर नॉट गाइडेड बाय द शास्त्रास, दे आर ऑफ फोर कैटेगरीज, मूढ़ा, नरादमा, मायया अपहृत ज्ञान एंड आसुरं भावं आश्रिताः। सो दीस फोर कैटेगरीज ऑफ पीपल डू नॉट सरेंडर टू कृष्णा। Okay, because their intelligence is not guided by the Shastras, whereas those people who are Sukritinas, whose intelligence is guided by the Shastras, they surrender to Krishna. Artho, Jigyasur, Arthaarthi and Jnani. He talks about these four kinds of people, who are all, the first three are Karma Mishra Bhaktas and the fourth is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. This we saw. And then he says, Krishna, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyohi Jnanino Atyartam Aham Sachamam Priyah. Between the Karma Mishra Bhakta, Jnana Mishra Bhakta, the Jnana Mishra Bhakta is better, because the Jnana Mishra Bhakta does not have any material desires. His desire is only to establish a relationship with Krishna. And then Krishna clarifies, of course, all four of them are very good. Udara Sarva Evaite ज्ञानी तो आत्मैव मे मतम आस्तित सही युक्तात्मा मामेव अनुत्तमां गतिम। He says, of course, all are very good, but of the four, the Jnani is certainly superior, because he has no material desires. And he is convinced that I am only the highest goal, and he has no other goal other than achieving me. So therefore, I consider him equal to myself, like that Krishna says. And Srila Vishnu Chakradagur explains that, but Krishna, when talking about pure devotion, pure devotees, he talks that they are superior even to the Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, like that. And then it is mentioned, बहुनाम जन्मनामंते ज्ञानवान माम प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति समहात्मा सुदुर्लभः। So he says that whether one is a ज्ञान मिश्र भक्तार कर्म मिश्र भक्तार मेटीरियलिस्ट आर anyone, if by many lifetimes of accumulation of अज्ञात सुकृति it is possible that they may come to the state of being a pure devotee. That is the meaning of Bahunam Janmanamante Vyanaman Mam Prapadyate. Okay. Then he talks about, okay, if surrender to Krishna gives everything, then why do people surrender to demigods? So Kamai Stesair Hritagyanaha Prapadyante Anya Devata Tam Tam Niyamamastaya Prakritya Niyata Svaya. So he says that, but those who are foolish, whose intelligence is also not guided by the Shastras, and whose heart is consumed by material desires, and who are controlled under their nature, Swabhavajam Shraddha, such people, they prapadyante anya devata, they surrender to the other devatas and try to get some material benefit from them. Okay, then he says, yoyo yamyam tanum baktam shraddaya architum icchati tasya tasya chalam shraddam tameva vidadamyaham. Then he says that whenever I see an inclination in a person to worship any demigod, then I make the faith of that person to worship that demigod very strong. Sataya shraddaya yuktas tasya aradhanam ihate labate cha tatak kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. Then he says that endowed with that faith given by me when they worship that demigod, then I ensure that you know, through that demigod I fulfill all their desires. The demigod themselves have no capacity to fulfill their desires. Through that demigod I fulfill all their desires so that their faith in the demigod is not disturbed. But having said that, antavat phalam tesham tadbhavat yalpamedasam devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. But these people get only temporary material results, and those who worship the devatas attain the devatas, and those who worship me, they attain me. Apart from these demigod worshippers, there are other categories of disillusioned people, and those, that is actually the mayavadis. Avyaktam vyakti mapannam manyante mama buddhayah param bhavam ajananto mama vyayam anuttamam. So these mayavadis, when I appear in a material, when I appear in a human like form, they think that that form is illusory. They do not understand transcendental name, form, qualities, past tense, etc. For them, they understand only material name, form, qualities, past tense, which they think is illusory. So therefore, when they see me manifest in a form, they think that form is illusory. That is mayavadis. Okay, and they are disillusioned people, Krishna says. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudoyam nabijanati lokoma majamavyayam. I am covered by the curtain of yogamaya. You know, for the perfected devotees who are at the stage of prema, I am sometimes covered by my yogamaya potency. And for the people of this world, I am covered by my mahamaya potency. And covered by this mahamaya potency, these foolish people do not know my transcendental nature, Krishna says. So then the next question is, and then he says that even though they cannot see me, but I can see them eternally. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. He says, but even though they cannot see me, but I can see them in the past, present and future, no problem. And then the question arises, what is this curtain of yogamaya made of? We saw the curtain of yogamaya is made of these five elements: avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha and abhinivesh. Okay, avidya means material impressions that we had accumulated in the past life, and asmita means the asmita aspect of mahamaya actually shields the impressions from all the past lives and retains only impressions which belong to this life, so that we identify only with the present body and not any other body, even though the soul has passed through many, many different bodies. That is asmita. For a moment, forget this asmita. Avidya is material impressions, and material impressions lead to raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes. And these likes and dislikes get intensified into what is called as, deep అబ్జార్ప్షన్ టు ఎంజాయ్ వాట్ వన్ లైక్స్ అండ్ డీప్ అబ్జార్ప్షన్ టు రన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ వాట్ వన్ డిస్లైక్స్. సో దిస్ అబ్జార్ప్షన్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ అభినివేశ్. సో దిస్ రాగ అభినివేశ్ అండ్ దేశ అభినివేశ్, అబ్జార్ప్షన్ ఇన్ ఎంజాయింగ్ అండ్ అబ్జార్ప్షన్ ఇన్ ఎంజాయింగ్ థింగ్స్ దట్ వి లైక్ అండ్ అబ్జార్ప్షన్ ఇన్ రన్నింగ్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ థింగ్స్ దట్ వి డు నాట్ లైక్ కీప్స్ అస్ బిజీ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్, ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆఫ్ డ్యువాలిటీస్, అండ్ బీయింగ్ బిజీ వీ కెనాట్ సీ కృష్ణ. సో ద కర్టన్ ఇస్ జస్ట్, ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎ లిటరల్ కర్టన్, ఇట్ ఇస్ జస్ట్ దట్ Krishna keeps us busy in this alternative reality. Therefore, we cannot see Krishna because we have our absorption in this alternative reality. Okay. That's what Krishna says in this 7.27. Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. So, he says, since the beginning of creation, okay, since the beginning of creation, all the living entities have been intensely bewildered. Sammoham yanti. Sammoham is actually abhinivesh. Okay. And this is caused by ignorance due to duality arising from likes and dislikes. So likes and dislikes, which is caused due to past impressions, leads to absorption in likes and absorption in dislikes. And because of this alternative absorption, we do not notice Krishna in his various features. So this is the fabric of the curtain of Yoga Maya. This is the essential fabric of the curtain of Yoga Maya. Then the question arises, then who can see through this curtain? For whom will this curtain be removed? And who will get to see Krishna? In the next verse, Krishna says, Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmuha bhajante mam dridavrataha. He says, but those people who come in touch with devotees, okay, by chance association with devotees, when they become completely freed of sin, which is anarthana vritti, then they reach the stage of nishta, dridavrata bhajan. And this nishta acts as a solid foundation for seeing Krishna gradually. Okay. This is how Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains this verse. And Srila Baladeva Vidya Bhushan gives another explanation. He says that yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam తే ద్వంద్వ మోహ నిర్ముక్త భజంతే మా దృఢప్రతాః. సో హి సేస్ పుణ్యకర్మ లీడ్స్ టు అంతగతం పాపం, అండ్ అంతగతం పాపం లీడ్స్ టు ద్వంద్వ మోహ నిర్ముక్త, అండ్ ద్వంద్వ మోహ నిర్ముక్త లీడ్స్ టు దృఢవ్రత భజన్. వాట్ ఈస్ ద మీనింగ్? పుణ్యకర్మ మీన్స్ పయస్ యాక్టివిటీస్, ఆర్ పుణ్యకర్మ ఆల్సో మీన్స్ ప్లీజింగ్ యాక్టివిటీస్, యాక్టివిటీస్ విచ్ ఆర్ ప్లీజింగ్ టు కృష్ణ అండ్ ద డివోటీస్. That is devotional service, right? And antagatam papam means destruction of sinful tendencies or inclinations. Okay. And dvandva moha nirmukta means overcoming likes and dislikes of this material world. Then it leads to drida vrata bhajan, steady devotional service. So basically what this verse says is that భజన క్రియ లీడ్స్ టు అనర్థన వృత్తి, అనర్థన వృత్తి లీడ్స్ టు నిష్ట. సో ద థర్డ్, ఫోర్త్ అండ్ ఫిఫ్త్ స్టేజెస్ ఆఫ్ ద నైన్ స్టేజ్ భక్తి ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్క్. భజన క్రియ విచ్ ఇస్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ డివోషనల్ లిమ్స్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ లీడ్స్ టు అనర్థన వృత్తి, డిస్ట్రక్షన్ ఆఫ్ unfavorable anarthas within the heart, which leads to our absorption in this world of duality, and then it leads to steady devotional service. And steady devotional service acts as the foundation for our ability to see Krishna. Okay, so this is 728. Then he says, Krishna says, okay, I have described to you about the various kinds of mixed devotees, but one type of mixed devotee I did not talk about, or one type of pradhani bhuta bhakta, or a predominant devotee I did not speak about. That is the devotee who desires liberation. Jara marana mokshaya mama shritya yatantiye te brahma tad vidu krishnam adhyatmam karma cha akhilam. Okay. Ye, those yogis who mama shritya take shelter of me, jara marana mokshaya yatanti. Yatanti, they strive for jara marana mokshaya, escaping birth and death, or old age and death. They try to escape old age and death, which means essentially they try for liberation by taking shelter of me. So these are the mokshakamis. Okay. And those people, they attain their destination because Krishna says, because they know, te viduhu, such people know, Krishnam viduhu, they completely know. They completely know Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma. So he talks about three things. Let us see the meaning, because that question, this will be explained in the next chapter. He says that they know, in this verse, he says they know three things. Okay. Three things they know. Okay. What are the three things? He says Brahma. And then he says Adhyatma, Adhyatmam, and then they say Karma. So these three things they know, that is mentioned in this verse. And in the next verse he says, Sadhi Bhutadi Daivam Mam Sadhi Yajnam Chaye Viduhu Prayana Kale Apichamam Te Vidur Yukta Chetasaha. And he says that those who know me, he says that those who know Krishna, those who know Krishna as Adibuddha, Adidaiva, let us not see what it means. So Adibuddha, Adidaiva, and Adiyagya. Okay, so those who know Krishna as Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyagya, he says that such people can know Krishna even at the time of death. So he has used the six terminologies here. In the previous verse, these two are like the seed verses of the next chapter. Okay, these two verses, 729 and 730, the last two verses of this chapter, they act as the seed verses of the next chapter. So, in the 729 verse, he says, he talks about Brahman, Adhyatma and Karma. Okay. He says that those who worship me, desiring liberation, he says those who worship me desiring liberation, he says that they know Brahman, they know Adhyatma, and they know Karma. And then in the next verse, he says, those who understand me to be Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and Adiyagya, they are fixed in knowledge of me even at the time of death. So, this is where we ended our discussion last Friday. So, before we continue our discussion, before we start the 8th chapter now, If there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions from what we have discussed in the 7th chapter, then we can take it right now. Any quick questions, comments, discussion points from the 7th chapter before we move on to the chapter? Okay. If there is none, then we will start the 8th chapter now. Okay. Basically, in the last two verses, Krishna has used 6 terms without elaborating on what they are, what they mean. Okay. So, now let us start the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter is titled as Attaining the Supreme. Attaining the Supreme, which is because 7th chapter was Knowing the Supreme. So, 8th chapter is Attaining the Supreme. So, this is called as Taraka Brahma Yoga. Okay. This is how it is titled by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So, Arjuna is going to start this chapter by asking some questions. Okay. Because he is going to seek some clarification based on some terminologies that Krishna used in the last chapter without essentially clarifying what those terminologies mean. So, Arjuna is naturally seeking some clarification here. He says, Arjuna uvacha kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidaivam kim uchyate adiyagyakatam kotra dehesmin madhusudana prayana kale cha katam geyosi niyatatmabihi. So he is going to ask 7 questions here. Okay. 7 questions are asked in these 2 verses. Okay. So, what are those 7 questions? He says, Kim tad Brahma? What is Brahma? What is Brahman? Kim adhyatmam? What is adhyatma? Kim karma? What is karma? Adibhutam cha kim proktam? What is called as adibhuta? Oh, you are not able to see the screen? I thought I was sharing the screen. Oh, I am sorry. I thought I was sharing the screen. I am really sorry. Now, can you see the screen? Can you see the screen now? Okay. Thank you. So, Arjuna starts this chapter by asking these questions. Okay. So, he says, what is Brahma? What is Brahma? The same 6 terminologies that he had asked, he is asking, please explain what those terminologies are. So, what is Brahma? Kim tat Brahma kim adhyatma? What is adhyatma? What is karma? What is adibhuta? And he says, what is adidaiva? Okay. Adidaivam kim uchyate? What is adidaiva? Adiyajnah katam ko atra dehesmin madhusudana? So he says, adiyajnah kaha? Who is this adiyajna? Okay. 6 questions. Okay. Katam atra asmin dehe? And how is he known in the body? So this is the 7th question. How is he known in the body? Okay. And prayana kale cha katam yeyosi? And then how are you to be known at the point of death? How are you to be known at the point of death? Okay. Niyatatma bihi. By those, niyata means concentrated, atma here refers to mind. By those who have concentrated minds, how do they know you at the time of death? Okay. So, eight questions Arjuna asks in this particular two verses. He starts eighth chapter with this because he had used the six terminologies without clarifying that, and then he also told that those who know this, they can attain me at the time of death, they can know me even at the time of death. So he is asking a question about that also. So what is Brahma? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adibhuta? What is Adidaiva? What is Adiyagya? How is that personality who is addressed as Adiyagya, how is he known in the body? And how are you to be known at the point of death? How are you supposed to be known at the point of death? Okay. So these are the eight questions asked by Arjuna. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this, on these two verses, he says, in the eighth chapter, the Lord speaks about pure bhakti and yoga mishra bhakti in reply to Arjuna's questions. So we have already seen. So what have we seen till now? Okay. So what have we seen till now? We have seen Sakama Karma Yoga, okay, which was described somewhat, okay, at least some parts of the third chapter. Okay, Sakama Karma Yoga was described. Then we discussed Nishkama Karma Yoga, which was described in the third and fourth chapters. Okay, then we discussed about Jnana Yoga, which was described in the fifth chapter. Then we discussed about Ashtanga Yoga, which was described in the sixth chapter. Okay. So, this is all what is called as secondary bhakti or Guni Bhuta Bhakti, where bhakti element is secondary or gauna, and karma, jnana, yoga are primary or predominant. Okay. And then in the seventh chapter, we discussed about karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. Okay. So these two are primary bhakti, where bhakti is primary, but it has some tinges of karma, jnana, etc. So we discussed about karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti in talking about the four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna. Okay. And then we also discussed about one kind of jnana mishra bhakta who actually aspires for liberation. Okay, jara marana mokshaya mamashritya yatantiye te brahma tadvidukrachnam adhyatmam karma chakilam sadhi bhutadi daivam mam sadhi yagyam chaye viduhu prayana kale apicha mam te vidur yukta chetasaha. Like that he says. So he spoke about primary bhakti or predominant bhakti or pradani bhuta bhakti in the seventh chapter. Now in this eighth chapter, he is going to talk about Yoga Mishra Bhakti, which is also a kind of primary bhakti, where there is predominance of bhakti, but it is slightly mixed with an attraction to the path of yoga, mystic yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. Okay. So then he is also going to talk about pure devotional service. Okay. So he's also going to talk about pure devotional service. So these are the various aspects we have already seen. Okay. We have, of course, we have not seen pure devotional service in detail, except here and there in the 7th chapter, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Injan Madashraya. In the very first chapter, he talks about, very first verse, he talks about, pure devotional service, like that here and there. But it has not been elaborated much. Right, but he's going to little bit more elaborate in this 8th chapter, and he's also going to talk about what is this yoga mishra bhakti, which is predominant bhakti mixed with little principles of yoga or attachment to yoga. That is what he's going to talk about in this chapter. So this karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti were described in the 7th chapter. Okay, and Yoga Mishra Bhakti will be discussed in the 8th chapter, and pure devotional service will also be introduced in the 8th chapter. Okay, so then he says, he also describes the two destinations of the yogis. At the end of the previous chapter, the Lord mentioned knowledge of 7 items. Brahman, Adhyatma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyagya, and himself, Krishna. So he spoke about 7 items. Wanting to know about these things, Arjuna asked questions about them in the first 2 verses of this chapter. So he asks about the first 2 things, about the 7 things in the first 2 verses. Who is the ruler of this body? Atra Dehe Yagya. Who is the ruler of yagya in the body? Adiyagyam katam kotra de atra dehesmin Madhusudana. And prayana kale apichamam te vidur yukta chetasa. And how should he be known in the body at the point of death? So the sentence is completed with the next line of verse 2. So who is the ruler of this body? And how should he be known in the body at the point of death? So these are the various questions seeking, where Arjuna is seeking clarification of these terminologies, and Krishna is going to answer these questions immediately. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Yeah. Anything you would like to ask before we move forward to the next verse? Any questions, comments? Okay, if there is none, let's move on to the next verse. Krishna is going to answer these questions now. Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Swabhavo Adhyatma Muchyate, Bhuta Bhavod Bhavaka. Visarga Karma Samgitah. So he is going to define Brahma and Adhyatma and Karma. So these 3 things are going to be defined in this third verse now. So he says, Aksharam Brahma Paramam. The Brahman is the supreme indestructible entity. Aksharam means indestructible. Paramam means supreme. So what is Brahma? Brahman means the supreme indestructible entity. Of course, the Jiva is also indestructible. Right? Nainam Chindanti Shashtani. Nainam dahati pavakaha, nachainam kledayantyapo, na shoshayati marutaha. Krishna says that the soul cannot be cut with a knife, it cannot be burned, it cannot be dried, it cannot be, drowned in water, everything he says. So, that's what he says. Brahman is the supreme, but this jiva is indestructible. అంత మే దేహ నిత్య శోక్తాహ సరి శరీరిణః. దిస్ బాడీ ఇస్ పెరిషబుల్ బట్ ద సోల్ విత్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ ఇస్ ఎటర్నల్, ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ పెరిషబుల్. కృష్ణ సేస్ దిస్ రైట్. సో ద జీవ ఇస్ ఆల్సో అక్షరం, ఇండిస్ట్రక్టిబుల్, బట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ అక్షర పరమం, ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ద సుప్రీం ఇండిస్ట్రక్టిబుల్ ఎంటిటీ. సో దాట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మన్. ఓకే, అక్షరం బ్రహ్మ పరమం. సో ద సుప్రీం ఇండిస్ట్రక్టిబుల్ ఎంటిటీ ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్. అఫ్ కోర్స్ హియర్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ పరబ్రహ్మన్ విచ్ ఇస్ కృష్ణ ఓన్లీ. ఓకే, సో ఫస్ట్ బ్రహ్మ హెస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. సో వాట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మ ఆర్ బ్రహ్మన్? ఇట్ ఇస్ సుప్రీం ఇండిస్ట్రక్టిబుల్ ఎంటిటీ, దట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మన్. ఓకే, నెక్స్ట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సీ వాట్ ఈస్ అధ్యాత్మ. సో ఈ సేస్ స్వభావో అధ్యాత్మం ఉచ్యతే. అధ్యాత్మ ఈస్ ది జీవ. వై దిస్ వర్డ్ స్వభావ హియర్ రెఫర్స్ టు ద జీవ, శ్రీ విశ్వనాథ చక్రవర్తి ఠాకూర్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్. సో దెన్ హీ సేస్ కర్మ సంగీత. కర్మ ఇస్ రెఫర్స్ టు విసర్గ. విసర్గ మీన్స్ క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ న్యూ బాడీ. ఓకే, కర్మ రెఫర్స్ టు క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ న్యూ బాడీ డ్యూరింగ్ ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్. హౌ ద న్యూ బాడీ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్? భూత భావ ఉద్భవ కరో, అరైజింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ బాడీస్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎలిమెంట్స్, ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్. సో కర్మ రెఫర్స్ టు ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్ అరైజింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ బాడీస్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎలిమెంట్స్. ఓకే, సో దిస్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ కర్మ. సో కర్మ రెఫర్స్ టు ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్. ఓకే, ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్ అరైజింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ బాడీ. ఓకే, భూత భావ ఉద్భవ కరో, ఉద్భవ కరో లైక్ దాట్. సో ఉద్భవ కరో మీన్స్ అరైజింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ లైక్ దాట్. సో హీ హాస్ డిఫైన్డ్ త్రీ థింగ్స్ హియర్. Brahman is the supreme indestructible entity, that is the supreme lord. Okay, and adhyatma refers to the jiva. Okay, so the adhyatma refers to the jiva, and karma refers to transmigration arising from creation of bodies made of material elements. When another body is created out of material elements, then the soul transmigrates to that another body, giving up the old body. That is called as karma, or the driving principle, the principle based on which the jiva transmigrates from one body to another body, that principle is called as karma. Okay, now let's see what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has to say. So now the Lord starts answering the questions of Arjuna. So the Lord answers, Brahman refers to the Akshara, that which does not get destroyed, that which is eternal and supreme. Okay, that which is eternal and supreme. Aksharam Paramam. Aksharam means eternal, Paramam means supreme. The Shruti says, Etad vai tad aksharam gargi brahmana abhivadanti. The knowers of Brahman call the Supreme Lord the indestructible. Okay. And later in verse 21, Vishala Vishna Jagadakur will say that Akshara is Narayana. Okay. Akshara is Narayana. So Brahman is the Supreme Lord. Okay. Brahman is the Supreme Lord. Okay. And Swabhava means that which produces oneself. Swam bhavayati. That which produces oneself from imposition of a body. In other words, it means the jiva, since it creates the body. Okay. So what creates the body? It is the jiva. It is the jiva which creates the body. Why? Because the jiva wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why did Krishna create this material world? Prabhupada answered, you know, he immediately retorted back. He said, Krishna did not create, you created. So that's what Prabhupada said. You created. I mean, not that Krishna did not create, but he created it for you. If you did not want, there would be no material world and this material body. So it is the jiva, which is the cause of the material body, that which it is identifying as oneself. The conditioned soul identifies the body as the self, swam. Okay. Bhavayati, creates. That which creates the self, that is the soul. This is a little technical thing. Okay. The soul creates that which it identifies as the self conditioned state. In the conditioned state, what does the soul identify as the self? The body. Okay. So swam bhavayati means that which creates itself. Okay. Which is the jiva. Of course, the jiva does not create itself. The jiva creates that which identifies as itself. Okay. That is why it is called as jiva. So the jiva is called as adhyatma. Of course, these terminologies, the Sanskrit terminologies, many of these terminologies have very contextual meanings. Okay, they have very contextual meanings, and especially this section, different acharyas give different meanings also to these terminologies, and they explain it in a slightly different way also. Here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is describing it as adhyatma means the jiva. Okay. And he gives an alternative explanation also. Or the meaning of swabhava can be that which causes one to attain the Paramatma. So swa means the Lord in this case. So swabhava means so that which causes one to attain the Paramatma. So in this case, adhyatma refers to the purified jiva, since only the pure jiva is qualified to attain Paramatma. So adhyatma can refer to the ordinary conditioned soul, or adhyatma can refer to the purified soul who is qualified to attain the Paramatma or the Supreme Lord. Okay, it can refer to both depending on the context. Okay, so in both cases, the meaning of swabhava is swam bhavayati. So swam bhavayati means swabhava means swam plus bhavayati. So swam could mean body, bhavayati means cause of creation. Okay. Or swam can refer to the Lord, and bhavayati can mean cause of attaining. Okay. So if this first meaning is taken, then the swabhava refers to the jiva, the conditioned jiva. If the second meaning is taken, then it refers to the purified. guide jiva. So it depends on how you understand the meaning of swabhava. Swam bhavayati, like that. So in this way, adhyatma refers to the jiva in either case, either the conditioned or the purified. The word karma refers to transmigration of the jiva, the creation of bodies through material elements. It is called karma because it is produced from actions. So the transmigration is caused through actions. Therefore, it is called as karma. Okay. So now we have seen the definition of three terminologies: Brahma, Adhyatma, and Karma. Okay. I know this first section is little bit technical, where we are just discussing some definitions and terminologies. It may be little bit technical, but anyways, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. Okay. Yes, Shyam Mukund Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, I have a question regarding 7th chapter, 1 shloka.
Yes.
Prabhuji, there that the Lord says that Tesham to Antagatam Papam. And I was thinking that in the end, the Lord says that Sarva Dharman Paritajya. So there the Lord says, one who surrenders to me, I take all the sinful reactions. So yeah. This shloka, Tesham to Antagatam Papam, it is for whom the Lord is talking? Because already the sins are taken away when one surrenders fully. So,
the word papam refers to, it can refer to sinful reactions, or it can refer to sinful inclinations also. While sinful reactions are immediately taken away by Krishna, sinful inclinations gradually only go away. So papam can refer to both.
So in there case, it is mainly of determination. Means then Tesham to Antagatam Papam, then one with determination performs bhakti. So like that, when all the sinful inclinations and reactions are gone.
When all the sinful inclinations are gone, then he can perform devotional service with determination.
Okay, Prabhu. Yes, thank you, Prabhu.
Any other questions, comments, discussion points? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion further. Okay, next. Krishna continues. So, there were 6 terminologies, 3 terminologies he has already defined. Now he says, Adibhutam Sharo Bhavaha Purushascha Adidaivatam Adiyagnyoham Hevatra Dehe Dehabritam Vara. He says, Adibhutam Sharo Bhavaha. So now he is going to define the next 3 terminologies. He is going to define Adibhutam. Adi Daivatam and Adiyagya. So he says, Adibhutam Sharo Bhavaha. Adibhuta refers to all the temporary material objects. Okay. Adibhuta refers to all the temporary material objects. Okay. And Adi Daiva refers to the universal body of the Lord. Purushascha Adi Daivatam. So Adi Daiva refers to the universal body of the Lord. You can call it the universal body, or you can call it the universe. Okay, that is Adi Daivatam. Adi Yajnaha. I, on the other hand, Aham Eva Adi Yajnaha. So he says, I am only the Adiyagya. atra dehe, situated in the body. O Arjuna, deha britam vara. Vara means best. Deha is body. Britam means situated in. Deha britam vara means, O Arjuna, best among the souls situated in the body. Amongst all people, you are the best, O Arjuna. I am only the Adiyagya who is situated in the body. Okay. So therefore, Adibhutam is temporary objects. Adideva is the universal form. And Adiyagya refers to Paramatma. Okay. Which Krishna says, I am that Adiyagya who is situated in the body. Now, this is not wrong. It is not Krishna as Krishna who is situated in the body of all living entities. It is Krishna in his Paramatma feature who is situated in all the living entities, the bodies of all the living entities. But because that Paramatma is only an expansion of Krishna, therefore it is wrong to say that I am situated in everyone's body. Okay, this kind of usage is not wrong because the Amshi can identify as the Amsha. So Krishna being the source, are ultimately the ultimate source of expansion of the Paramatma, it is not inappropriate for him to say, I am in everyone's body. Okay. But the Paramatma, Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, cannot say, I stole butter. He cannot say that. Because he is only the expansion. And that act of stealing butter was performed by Swayam Bhagavan Krishna himself, the Amshi. But Krishna can say, I am in the heart of all the living entities, because the Paramatma feature is only a partial expansion of Krishna. Okay. So therefore, there is nothing wrong. So Krishna says, I am only the Adiyagya who is situated in everyone's heart. Okay. So, now let us see what Krishna has answered. Brahma refers to the supreme indestructible entity, which is Krishna. Okay, or Brahman, you can say. And Adhyatma refers to the Jiva. And Karma refers to the actions which lead to transmigration of living entities. Okay. And Adibhuta refers to the material objects of this world, temporary material objects. Adidaivata refers to the universal form, and Adiyagya refers to the Paramatma. Okay. Let's see the explanations. So now Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, the word Adibhuta refers to temporary material objects. Kshara bhavaha. Kshara means that which is temporary. Bhavaha means which have the nature of being temporary. Okay. Such as pots and cloth. That is Adibhuta. The word Adidaiva refers to the person representing the totality of the universe. Understood from the derivation of the word Adidaiva as he within whom all the devatas exist as its subjects. Adidaiva. That personality within whom all the devatas exist as its subjects. That is Adidaiva. In the body, I, the Paramatma, am the Adiyagya, the person who induces others to perform actions like Yagya. So why he is called as Adiyagya? The inspiration to perform various Yagyas and other such things is inspired by Krishna. are the Paramatma within. Therefore, he is called as Adhi Yajna. Okay. But the question arises, but why should the word Eva for emphasis be used with Aham? Since the Paramatma is only my expansion or Amsha. Aham Eva. Adiyagyoham Eva. Atra Dehesmin. Dehesmin. Dehe Deha Bhritamvara. He says. Why he is using I only? Why he should emphasize this way? Because it is not Krishna only. It is Krishna's expansion, Paramatma only. Why there is emphasis? Why is use of this word Eva only here? It is because this Antaryami, even though an Amsha, is non-different from me. Whereas the other items such as Adhyatma, which is the Jiva, are different from me. Oh, okay. This is the reason. Why the word Eva is used with Adiyagya? Because the other items, even though in the ultimate sense, they are also Krishna, in the sense it being Krishna's energy, but Adiyagya is, but Paramatma is not Krishna's energy, but Paramatma is Krishna's direct personal expansion. Therefore, the word Eva is used only with Adiyagya. Okay. So he says, oh, best person among those having bodies, you are the best of all in this body because you have a direct relationship with me as a friend. This is what, why is Krishna addressing Arjuna as the best of the embodied souls? Because of all the embodied souls, Arjuna is best because he has a direct relationship with Krishna. Okay. So now, okay. So now my question to you is, can you please recollect the meaning of the words Brahma? Now, first just try to recollect what are the six terminologies about which Krishna mentioned in the previous chapter, and about which Arjuna has asked in this chapter. What are the six terminologies? Can you recollect? Go to your chat box and recollect. Okay, Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma. Okay, what else? Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma, three things are over. Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and Prayana Kalaya is not definition, Adiyagya. Okay, the six things he has asked. About the six things he has asked. Okay, now my question to you. Okay, I want all of you to participate. Please participate. Okay, otherwise, if we are inactive, we don't learn. Because your 1.5 hours is very valuable time. Anyway, you are going to sit and hear for 1.5 hours. If you are active, then that 1.5 hours becomes absolutely valuable. If you are inactive, still it is valuable because what we are reading and hearing is transcendental subject matter from Bhagavad Gita, and the words of the Acharyas are also transcendental. There will be some effect, but if we are active, it will have, you know, really good effect. Okay. Now, what is Brahma? Based on what we read, can you recollect? What is Brahma? Brahman is indestructible, supreme. Okay. Very good. What is Adhyatma? Is the Jiva. Very good. Okay. What is Karma? What is Karma? actions which lead to transmigration, which is karma. Very good. Okay. What is adibhuta? What is adibhuta? Adibhuta refers to the temporary objects. Adibhutam ksharobhavo. And what is adidaivata? Lord, okay, the universal form, right? Adidaivata is the universal form, the universal body, in which, which houses all the devatas, okay? Now, what is adiyagya? Yes, adiyagya means the Lord of Sacrifice, okay, no. Adiyagya is Paramatma, right? The super soul. Adiyagyoham evatra dehe deha bhritamvara. I am only adiyagya who is situated in every living entity, right? So now these are the six things. Now, what exactly did Krishna tell? Let's now go back to, now that he has defined the six terminologies, now let us go back to the seventh chapter, last two verses, and see what Krishna spoke about these six terminologies. Why did he speak and in what context he spoke? We are going to see that so that we can understand this. You know, whatever is left understood from the seventh chapter, we will try to understand right now. What did Krishna say in the seventh chapter? Krishna, in the 29th verse, he says, Jara marana mokshaya mam ashritya yatanti ye te brahma tad viduhu krishnam adhyatmam karma cha akhilam. So, he says, those yogis who, taking shelter of me, strive for freedom from birth and death. Okay. So, those yogis who strive for freedom from birth and death, they know Brahman. Okay. Brahman is the supreme, indestructible entity. Brahma, they know Brahman, the Jiva. The Jiva is Adhyatma, okay? And, there is a mistake here. Tad Brahma comes here, Tad Brahma should come here, okay? And Adhyatma should come here, okay? They know about Brahma, they know about Adhyatma, which is the Jiva, and they know about what are the activities which will cause transmigration so that they will not perform those activities. Because they don't want to transmigrate, they want to escape this material world. So, and the next verse also talks about those personalities only. Okay, so those who want to escape this material world, they will have to know very clearly Krishnam Viduhu. They will have to know very clearly about what is Brahman, what is Jiva, what are those actions which cause transmigration, and they should also know Adibhutaha. They should also know about the nature of matter. Adi Daivata. They should also know about Krishna in his universal feature, who is the controller of the Devatas. And they should also know the nature of Paramatma, who is situated in everyone's body. So when one understands all these principles very clearly, then such a person at the time of death, he knows Krishna and he can attain liberation. This is what This is what Krishna mentioned in the previous chapter. So those yogis, does it refer to Pradhani Bhuta devotees? Yes. The Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas, and especially the Yoga Mishra Bhakta, who is going to be described, who was described in this previous verse. Jara Marana Mokshaya Mama Shritya Yatantiye. Okay. So this is the connection between the 7th chapter and 8th chapter. In 7th chapter, he just mentioned that those who take shelter of me to attain liberation, they know about Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and Adiyagya. So such people who know these 6 things, then at the time of death, they are fixed in knowledge and they will know me and they will attain liberation. Okay. This is what he is telling here. So now he is describing this further. So this is how the 8th chapter starts, where Krishna says, where Arjuna is asking, okay, you use these terminologies of Adiyagya, Brahma, then Adhyatma, Adidaiva, Karma, Adiyagya, all these terminologies, what are they? So that's how the 8th chapter starts. So 8th chapter starts with Arjuna asking these questions. What is Brahma? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyagya? And how is he to be known in the body? And how are you to be known at the point of death? You know, this is the question. Okay. And Krishna answers the question here. Yes, Brahman is that supreme indestructible entity. Adhyatma refers to the jiva. Karma refers to those actions which lead to transmigration. And Adibhuta refers to matter. Adidaivata refers to the universal form. Adiyagya refers to the Paramatma. And one who knows these principles, such a person attains Krishna at the time of death. So he will know means they will remember me at the time of death. Not just remember and know him properly also. Realize him and know him, and in that way remember him. Like that. So this is what Krishna has been explaining. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add before we move forward. Okay. Thank you. If there is no further questions, we will continue. Then Krishna continues. Because another question that Arjuna had asked was that Prayana Kale Apichamam Tevidur. No. And he asked, Prayana Kale Chakatam Geyosi Niyatatmabihi. How are you to be known at the point of death by those with concentrated minds? How are you to be known at the point of death? How are you to be known? Okay. So in response to this, Krishna is going to answer here. He says, Antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshayah. Antakale, at the point of death, yaha, he who muktva kalevaram prayati, he who leaves the body, he who gives up the body and leaves. Prayati, leaves. Muktva kalevaram, gives up the body and leaves. Mameva smaran. Smaran actually means remembering. But see how it is translated here. while knowing me in truth. Smaran means knowing me in truth. So that is how it is explained here. So at the point of death, he who leaves the body while knowing me in truth, saha, that person, madbhavam yati, yati, he attains madbhavam, a nature similar to mine. Atra, of this conclusion, na asti samshayah, there is no doubt. No doubt exists about this. Okay. Antakale, at the time of death, yaha, he who, muktva kalevaram prayati, gives up his body and leaves, mam eva smaran, while knowing me in truth, saha, that person, yati, he attains madbhavam, a nature similar to mine. Of this there is no doubt. Atra na asti samshayah. Okay. So he who, while leaving the body, he who knows me in truth. So smaran does not just refer to remembrance. It refers to knowing Krishna in truth. So here he says, this verse answers the question, how are you to be known at the time of death? So here Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says, smaran means remembering me, knowing me in truth, not like knowing parts or cloth. The method of knowing or remembering the Lord is now explained in 14 verses. Okay, in 14 verses, how do you know and remember the Supreme Lord? So, know me in truth, not like knowing parts and cloth. Oh, this is part, this is cloth, not like that. Knowing means knowing in truth. Like that. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. So, knowing Krishna in truth means, like for example, if someone really knows, fire burns. What is the symptom of that knowledge? If someone really knows fire burns, then what is the symptom that he has really understood the nature of fire? Can you give your understanding? If someone knows that fire burns, what is the real symptom that he has understood the nature of fire? Yeah, he will stay away from fire, right? He will stay away from fire. Otherwise, if someone says, oh, I have understood the nature of fire, and puts his hand inside the fire and he says, hey, it burnt me, then which means you really did not understand. So similarly, if someone understands Krishna in truth means, Krishna says, Vitaraga Bayakroda Manmaya Mam Upashrita Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Puta Madbhava Magata. Okay. So he says, one who understands, this is the verse that is next to Makarma Chame Divyam, Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. So Krishna in the fourth chapter says that one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, such a person, after giving up his body, he shall never take birth again. But in the next verse he says, what is the symptom of such a person who has clearly understood the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities? He says, Vita Raga. Such a person does not have any attachment to bogus philosophies like Mayavad and other such philosophies. Okay. Vita Raga, Vita Baya. and he is free of fear in seeing other people who may have who may have affiliation with such kind of mayavad. When other people are speaking mayavad, he is not very afraid, because he is very firmly rooted in his understanding of the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities. And Vita Krodha, and when someone is speaking this bogus philosophy, he does not become angry, because he is not affected. Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha Man Maya. Man Maya means such a person's mind is always thinking of Krishna. That is the real meaning of one who has realized the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities. If he has really understood that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental, he will not be able to think of anything else or anyone else other than Krishna. And such a person, Maam Upashrita, they will immediately take shelter of Krishna. That is a symptom of understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities. Okay. And finally, he says, Mad Bhavam Agataha, they will attain my nature. Same thing. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yap prayati sa madbhavam yati. Same thing. Bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agataha. Madbhavam agataha and madbhavam yati means the same thing. Yati agataha. Same meaning. He attains a nature similar to that of mind. So at the point of death, he who leaves the body while knowing me in truth, not just merely remembering me. Remembering me means remembering me in the right way, having known me in truth, really known. Okay. So which means known means what? One who has really understood Krishna and Krishna's transcendental nature, he will definitely take shelter of Krishna, and he cannot think of anyone else but Krishna. Manmaya maam upashrita. So that is the meaning of remembering Krishna at the time of death. So this verse answers the question, how are you to be known at the time of death? Smaran means remembering me. Knowing me in truth, not like knowing parts or cloth. Okay. The method of knowing or remembering the Lord is now explained in 14 verses. But before that, he is going to give a generic principle. Okay. How remembering Krishna, you will attain his nature? Because Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya tada tad bhava bhavitaha. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Whatever one thinks of, tyajati ante kalevaram, when leaving the body, tam tam eva eti, one attains. Eti means attains. One attains tam tam eva, that very same state or a very similar state, sada tad bhava bhavitah, to that object of constant thought. So which means, see, even this verse says one can think of something at the time of death only if one has been constantly thinking of that. So when Krishna says, if you remember me at the time of death, you will attain a nature similar to that of mine. Why am I saying this? Because whatever one thinks of while leaving the body, one attains a state similar to that object of constant thought. So you see here, what Krishna should say, whatever one thinks of at the time of death, he will attain that very state of what he thought in the time of death, right? But Krishna says, whatever one thinks at the time of death, he attains that state similar to that object of constant thought, which means whatever one has been constantly thinking about, which means whatever one is really attached to, only that object he can think at the time of death. So it is not that I have been thinking of everything else at the time of death, and suddenly at the time of death I will think of Krishna. It is not at all possible. Okay, that is what he is telling here. Whatever one thinks of when leaving the body, one attains a state similar to that object of constant thought, which means that object of constant thought becomes the object of remembrance at the time of death. Right? Like that. So he says, this verse explains that just as by remembering me, one attains me, as stated in the previous verse, so by remembering something else, one attains that object. Being influenced by constant thoughts of that object, a person becomes similar to that object. Okay. Being influenced by constant thoughts of that object, a person becomes similar to that object. Similar to that object. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Yes. Shyamali Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So, Prabhuji, that means knowledge of Krishna. This knowledge of Krishna and remembrance, both are necessary?
Well, actually, knowledge of Krishna should mature into realization of Krishna. And if it matures into realization of Krishna, one cannot but remember only Krishna at the time of death. But it does not mature into realization, one cannot remember Krishna at the time of death. So realization is synonymous almost. It is not in one sense synonymous in the sense exact. It's not the exact meaning, but in this case, realization translates into remembrance at the time of death. So if one has not realized, then it will not lead to remembrance at the time of death. That's what it means. So, not just mere knowledge.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is, since we are all practitioners of pure devotional service.
Correct.
So as part of our sadhana, as part of our daily routine activities, what we are doing is trying and endeavoring to get that remembrance of Krishna. Although when we chant and whatever, it is difficult to remember Krishna, but that is what we are endeavoring for.
Correct.
So, but if you ask, how much we have realized Krishna, that is, I'm sure most of us would all put our hands down only.
Correct.
Realizing Krishna is a very high goal.
Correct.
The stages of bhakti, I think that comes like somewhere beyond.
Very high. So,
where do we place ourselves?
That is why. We will take our birth again and continue from where we left off till we attain that perfection. But one thing is, we are not going to, if you are following the process right, we are not going to remain at the same. Definitely we are going to progress. Just as what we were 10 years before, definitely improvement has happened. Similarly, if we diligently practice, try to avoid the don'ts and do the, you know, and perform the do's, then gradually over a period of time, with purification, we will be able to come closer and closer to this ideal. And if we may not achieve that ideal in this life, but in the next life, we will start from where we left off. We attain perfection in the next place.
Okay. So, again, just coming back to that same point, Krishna also says, Neha Vikarman Asusti Pratyayana Vidyate Su Adhamapya Asya Dharmasya. So, there it is. There Krishna says, Su Alpamapya Asya Dharmasya.
Correct.
I mean,
even little bit. Prayate Mahato Bayat means you are guaranteed a human birth. So human birth you will get. Again, to continue your process till you attain perfection.
Okay. So, Prayate Mahato Bayat is only that.
You are guaranteed human birth. You will not glide down to other animal or plant species.
Lower species.
Lower species. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Okay. Sukhava Mataji.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In regards to what Shamlal Prabhu was just saying, it's kind of like we put this whole momentous thing on the time of death. Like, oh my God, I got to remember Krishna at the time of death. Otherwise, it's all for naught. And yet, like, if we were that worried, it's kind of like each day we have an opportunity to remember Krishna or not. And each day kind of sets us up for the next day. And when we have faith that, you know, we're trying our best and we're doing our best and we are where we are and Krishna's helping us where we are, and he forgives us, you know, what we do every day, that certainly he knows exactly where we need to go in our development much better than we do. And he won't cheat us.
Correct. He won't.
And at the same time, we can't really cheat either. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes people really do have good passings and people are there chanting around them, but it's hard to say just because people are chanting doesn't mean that where your consciousness is. It may be there, but it may not be there. That's true too, right?
Yes.
It's just because people are chanting around me when I pass doesn't mean I'm necessarily going back to Godhead. It just means that was very auspicious and I get really, you know, that's very helpful. But Krishna knows exactly where we are.
Exactly. True.
And go ahead.
So
he knows exactly where we are and exactly what we need. And so, you know, if we trust Krishna, then we don't really have to be afraid today, tomorrow, or at the time of death. We just have to each day endeavor, you know, how am I preparing for the time of death? You know, what am I doing today to prepare for the time of death? Like that? Can you say something about that?
Yes, if not worked throughout our life, then we can't do anything extra to achieve anything special at the time of death. We don't have to. If we have done our work, then we will pass the exam. If we have not done our work, we will not pass the exam. Either way, there is no need to get really panicky about the time of death. Because we will definitely get what we deserve, you know. So, and nothing more, nothing less. So, there is not that, you know, everything boils down to what exactly happens at the time of death. No. It's not a secret. Whatever has happened throughout the life, that's what will happen at the time of death. So, if sufficient anartha nivritti has not happened at the time of death, you know, throughout the life, then when we reach the time of death, then it's quite possible that it will be difficult for us to remember Krishna. But Krishna is not going to say that I am going to, so we, but that does not mean we will eternally stay in the material world. Krishna, yes, you have done a good job, you know, you have crossed, you know, 40% of your journey. So I will ensure that you start from 41st percent. So like that, Krishna will facilitate. So, and we don't want to prematurely land up. See, ultimately, it's not about remembering Krishna at the time of death. Ultimately, we want to love Krishna, develop a loving relationship with Krishna, and we must want to go there. We must be eager to establish a relationship with Krishna, not that somehow I remember Krishna at the time of death so that I don't have to take birth in this material again. That's not our goal. So, is that relevant, Mandi?
Yes. Yes, that was very relevant. Thank you very much. Because I know there is a lot of anxiety about the time of death. And, yeah, you know, but every day there's a little time of death. Every day we have, you know, yeah, if we thought we were going to die today, where would our consciousness be? And so, yeah, you know, that consciousness can help us to think of Krishna today and then tomorrow and the next day. And then, what's my next step? And we can't jump over the steps. It's not like, I mean, certainly Krishna can give us his mercy, but you know, there is a path and we do have to follow steps, and it's up to Krishna if he wants to jump us ahead, but we can't jump ahead.
Yeah. So it's nothing that we have, the whole point is, we should certainly not get over anxious about what happens exactly at the time of death. No.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we should, as you rightly said, we have to be anxious about the single moment that we spend. Are we doing our best to utilize it in Krishna consciousness? Then if we are doing it, we will progress. The only reality is, if we are 52% at the time of death, you know, and if people around us are chanting, it may take us to 53% because we are hearing the chanting of the holy names. And maybe if you are very attentively hearing, because, you know, it's the time of death, it will go to 54%, 55%. All of a sudden, if we are 50%, suddenly that chanting is not going to make it immediately 100% and transfer us to, Goloka. It's not going to make that big of a difference, but definitely the devotees are coming together and helping us give the extra few percentage. That is the way I see it. Nothing more than that. I mean, we are not trivializing that action. I'm not telling it's a very trivial thing, but
one
should not say that, oh, so many devotees came, so definitely he must have gone back to Godhead. Yes, we definitely wish that would have happened, but generally it's not the case.
And that's up to Krishna. He knows what's best, so we don't have to worry.
True.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Sachi Pranto.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my invitation.
Yes,
sir. I just want to confirm with you regarding at the stage of Nishtha, only we will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. No?
At the time of Nishtha, will we be able to see one
At the stage of Nishtha, we will be able to, the remembrance stage, that Prahlad Maharaj's stage, the remembrance stage, it will come at the time of, you know, when we cross the Anantha Nivritti, reach the stage of Nishtha.
Mm-hmm.
So, that time, we will be able to remember Krishna. That means, till the Anantha Nivritti stage, there is no chance that we will remember Krishna at the time of death.
It is not possible.
So, though at least that Prabhupada has mentioned that at least we should reach to the stage of Nishtha. Remember Krishna at the time of death.
It is for us, forget about one thing. We have to remember. For us, you have to take this remember to mean mature love. That is the meaning for us. Smaran here refers to pure love, prema. Till we attain prema, we are not going back. Okay, that is the meaning. Whether we remember Krishna or not at the time of death. For us, remembrance means loving remembrance in a particular rasa. That is what remembrance is for us. So for us, until we attain prema, so we will come back, but the coming back to the material world will be personally facilitated by Krishna, so that we can take next step towards developing love, because we don't want to go back without love for Krishna. We want to go back with the fully blossomed love towards Krishna, not otherwise, right? So we are not, so that's the point. So remembrance for us should be translated as prema. If we remember him in fully blossomed love, then we will attain. That is what we should understand.
Thank you.
Okay, there are some, it's already 7 minutes over time. Okay. I will just touch this point. How do we understand Gandhiji's chanting of Hey Ram at the time of death? Yeah, he chanted, but does not necessarily mean he remembered Krishna in love. So So antakalecha maam eva, it does not say shravan, it does not say kirtan, it says smaran. And smaran is translated by the acharyas as not just remembrance, knowing in truth. If someone has known him in truth, then at the time of death he will go back. But without sufficient sukriti, so many devotees may not be around us to chant also. So at least it is a sign that the devotee is getting a higher destination. Yeah. I mean, higher destination means what? For us, an opportunity to practice devotional service in the next life is higher destination. It is not a geographical destination. If there is no opportunity to practice bhakti in the Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, it is not a higher destination for us. But if there is a wonderful opportunity to practice bhakti in this Bhuloka, earth, then that is a higher destination for us. So higher destination is not geographical. It is actually when we get an opportunity to practice bhakti, that is higher destination for us. Yeah, someone says that I thought calling only name would be sufficient. Yeah, it is sufficient to progress on the path of bhakti, but not just you call the holy name and then you go back to the spiritual world. It is not like that. How about what will happen to all the anarthas which is there? What will happen that I have not developed any tangible love towards Krishna? What will we do in the spiritual world going there without sufficient love for Krishna? So yes, if someone chants the holy name at the time of death, definitely there will be some added progress. That's all. Okay, we will pause here, and definitely we will, if there are further questions, unanswered questions, we will definitely take it in the next life. Sorry, not next life. You see, I am thinking in terms. We so much got into this discussion about what happens in next life, where one goes. I hope we don't discuss this in next life. I hope we get to discuss it next week, not next life. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.